I have a complete life which extends far beyond this world. Even unto the end of this world, I am. I am that life which is eternal, because it is always now. It doesn't become a past life, a present life, and a future life. It is always a continuing now life. That is myself. And that is the self that is everywhere, and that is myself. That now self is not the self of an Arab who kills or an Israeli who retaliates. It is not the self of boys who go to war, and is not the self of boys who don't come back from war. But it is the invisible now self throughout infinity and eternality. That now self I am. Always have been, always will be. You step out of the changing form, out of the time structure. You live for a moment in the infinite nowness of your being. And as you do, you are a friend of Christ. You are a child of God, but not one child, you are the child. Just as he said, first, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, and then later, whatever you ask in my name, my Father will do, it was being revealed that the child of God is God. All there is the one God life. It is now. It will never stop being now. It does not function in time. It is eternal, timeless. And just to clear out all the concepts of the world mind by resting in this now life does unusual things in different ways to many people. Always harmonious, always good. We transcend the limitations, the false boundaries of the human mind. We rest in the infinite mind, which is now, and we rest in its nowness. We know that it has chosen us, for it is us, and we learn to depend on it. It goes before us because it is there already. It remains behind us because it is always there, too. We are accepting an omnipresent now self, with no boundaries in time anywhere. When Jesus walked the earth, your life now exists at that moment. Whatever will happen in a million tomorrows, your life now exists in that moment. We are now life, and we are one life. And there's nothing in the world that's going to change that, although visibly it will appear to be changed by many circumstances. We are to live in the invisible assurance of the one now life. There's no hate in it. There's no animosity in it. There's no lack of limitation in it. There's no birthing and deathing. There's no sickness and suffering. The illusions of the senses are forestalled when you live in the now, consciously. And this week, you should be able to develop this idea, which what I've given you about the now is only a surface, a starter. You should develop your own conscious awareness of your now life, which extends far back beyond all recorded history. Never was in the past. That's a human concept. And it can never be in the future. That's a human concept. When you try to thread infinity through the little needle of a human mind, That is what creates the illusion of past, of future, of present. There isn't any. It is all now. It is now throughout the universe, this instant, no matter what time of day it appears. Right now, throughout the whole universe, it is now. And also in universes we know not of. Doesn't matter what time it is on Mars, it is now. In Mercury, it is now. In Jupiter, it is now. And invisible worlds, unknown to man, it is now. And all of this nowness has always been now. We have only seen it come as time, but it hasn't. It has seemed to be time to the human mind, because the world mind cannot embrace the nowness of God. But Christ can. The Christ mind does. And you're separating yourself from time as you rest in this. It's one way to bear fruit. When you do it during the week, you'll find that you're pioneering. You're marching into new frontiers, and you won't know where to go. Because the human mind cannot go into now. It only knows time. It creates its creatures in time, and it destroys them in time. But those who stand in now find that they're not killed in time at all, because they don't live within it. They see it. They seem to move within its rules and regulations, but they are conscious of their nowness. And you may have to go above your human mind to get any results out of this. You may have to finally say to your human mind, well, this is as far as you can go. You can't think your way into now, so I'm going to have to leave you here, because that's where I am going. And you rest until the Christ mind lifts you into its awareness of now. You find there's no world in now, there's only my kingdom. The kingdom of now is, and always has been, present, out of time. It is inviolate, indestructible. It is totally governed by love. There's no power on this earth that can enter it to defile it. That is where we are going to live, as friends of Christ. In your exercise, repeated, I hope, more than once, you will slowly penetrate this other realm of now. And you will discover what cannot be discovered in the human mind. That only in the now are we the Son of God. Now are we the sons of God. Not in time. In time we're under the world mind domination, still servants. But now, without time, without past, without yesterdays, without tomorrows, we find this moment is infinite and covers all that exists. It isn't changing. It is imperishable. And whoever walks in time has no existence to you. We're going to see later why we have to do this. Right in this chapter of I Am the Vine. Now you'll find that you cannot feel the nowness at first, in many cases, and you may feel that it's difficult for you to try to do it on your own, but please do it, because even if you don't succeed, you will find you have succeeded. Your human mind may not know you've succeeded, but when you plant a seed, it begins to germinate. And in ways you know not of, nowness draws from its infinite self and brings it forth into manifestation. as the activity of spirit in your life. This is one time where we go out beyond our human capacities for sure, into the unknown. We'll rest now before we continue for 5 or 6 minutes. In the book of James, the epistle of James, the second chapter, 23rd verse, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and as it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. A friend of Christ isn't one who says, I am the Christ, but who by works reveals that this belief has become a way of life. Abraham's fidelity to Christ said that in God there is no destruction. And the symbol of him sacrificing his son was the acceptance that there is no destruction in God. It was the revelation that form was the illusion and that life, which is indestructible, is the reality. By acts of faith, we demonstrate that we are friends of Christ. These things have to be thought upon before all of the human ideas we attach to them are dissolved. You might think, well, will I have to put my child on the block for God's sake? And you know that's nonsense. We're being shown that there is a perfect, invisible self, and that only world mind asks us to make such sacrifices. The world mind says, sacrifice this one or that one. But God doesn't. God is demanding no sacrifice of anyone. There is no separate God separate from yourself to demand such a sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends, was where we ended last week, and it was the revelation that we are to lay down our sense of mortality, to pick up our identity as the immortal, invisible self. And this is the continuation of that idea, that by deeds we demonstrate who we know ourselves to be. By the capacity to look through error, that is a deed. By the capacity to look through the illusion of killing, that is a deed. By the capacity to remain untouched by the world of form, even though you may be persecuted by others as being incompassionate or inhuman, you must know the truth that Christ in you knows only the perfection of God's present kingdom, even to the point of knowing that time and space and motion are all ideas only within the world mind. We're only working with the now idea, because when you get the now idea, the idea of space and motion being equally counterfeit will come upon you. Form, time, space, motion will be revealed to you as activities of the world mind, making us servants to them. But break one and you break them all. Touch Christ and you dissolve all illusion. And this is what the Christ words are now penetrating into our consciousness to do. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now the persecutions are not outer. There is in us the world mind, and it is the persecutor. It is the opposite of the disciple in us. The disciple in us is hated by the persecutor, the world mind in us. The persecution, then, is within you, by your own human thought. Your own human thought is the Antichrist, which is against the disciple in you, which is the Christ. You must learn to distinguish which you are and which you seem to be. If we make the mistake of thinking someone out there is going to persecute me, we're wrong. They cannot persecute you out there because there's no one out there except the Christ. World mind is painting forms out there, and world mind in you is making you see the forms it has painted out there. The persecution is world mind in you giving you false vision, false thought, which is not of the Father. And this persecution within you must be faced with the knowledge that only peace, only truth, only beauty, only harmony, only now in the kingdom of God is present, no matter what the time picture seems to be. That is how the tempter, the persecutor, the world mind individualized in us as human mind is overcome. Only now is the kingdom of God everywhere. There is no time picture that is true. We're being separated from the time picture into the nowness of the kingdom. Separated from making ourselves higher than God. And the persecutions continue within us to heighten the conflict, to force us to be lifted, so that we make ourselves subordinate to God, so that we learn not to put our personal knowledge above goodness, not to put matter above spirit, not to put human above divine. The persecutions continue within us until all that is not human, all that is not divine, until all that is untrue is slowly eliminated from our senses, until we no longer believe in the world mind within us, until Christ is awakened and we are awake to Christ. Until we are divine being and not flesh which cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is the knowledge that we should be in at this moment, that I am not the flesh that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I cannot be that flesh because I am the Spirit of God, the Christ of God, the nowness of God expressing. And everything connected with that flesh is the persecution. the tempter, within, trying to perpetuate the illusion, but really a blessing in disguise that forces us eventually to be lifted above the persecutor into the nowness of being. We must be lifted into the nowness of being, because we're in a world of time that cannot survive. And if you're caught flat-footed in the world of time that cannot survive, you're in that flesh which cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you can escape this minute of time, you can escape the world in time and stand in the reality of being untouched. The symbol of a body buried and yet not buried, not touched, but free, is a symbol of the friends of Christ who stand in the world of time untouched when it perishes. However strong the words may be, that is what the Christ is preparing us to do. You cannot live in that which was not created by God, because it doesn't exist. And what doesn't exist cannot continue to seem to exist forever. As it had its birth, it must have its death. And only in the now of spirit, outside of changing time, are you independent of the changing time picture. Because when you're in the now, you're in another consciousness. You're in the indestructible consciousness. And you outpicture your own consciousness instead of the world consciousness of a changing form in time that perishes. And so we're hanging on to I, Christ, no matter what the world may present. I, Christ here, and I, Christ there. That is no Arab, that is the invisible I, Christ, and it isn't killing. That is no Israeli, that is the invisible I, Christ, and it isn't dying. And that I, Christ, and that I, Christ, and this I, Christ, are one and the same. One indivisible I, Christ. This is your constant consciousness. And if it isn't, then world mind will continue to persecute you. And that's the meaning of what Christ is telling us here. All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. In the inability or capacity to live in the conscious awareness that I, Christ, here, there, everywhere, am the one self, we are not knowing God aright. And because divine law must fulfill itself, there will be a continuance of error within us until we reach that point where we can look at the error and know it has no validity, no substance, and no law. All persecutions are the inevitable result of our ignorance of I, Christ, here, there, and everywhere. And as we violate identity, the opposite strikes against us, always with the purpose of calling that violation to our awareness. We call it persecution. It is a time signal saying you have violated identity. And you can see how the world has violated identity. You can't turn anywhere without something going wrong in this world. But we will accept that we are being chosen. We'll learn not to violate identity, even though the picture is harsh at times. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. As human beings, under the law of good and bad, material law, we went to human authorities. And the human authorities said, here are the ways in which you should live. And so we had man-made laws, man-made religious laws. These are the things you must do. And then when we found we did them or not, we were just as much subject to destruction. Why? Because they were the man-made laws. And those who thought they were authorities were really giving us their concept of what was right. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's law. This one said, this is our religion, let's do it this way. And the other one said, this is our religion, let's do it that way. And so each was forsworn unto his own doctrine. And none of the doctrines were the word of God. Because the word of God is, I am present as perfection now, and beside me there is no other. The word of man is, there is good and there is evil. And so man extolled the good and decried the evil. And if he happened to be a Pharisee, if he happened to be the ruling sect of a religion, he said, this is the way you do it, and if you don't, you get stoned. Or if he happened to be another religion, he said, if you don't do what we want, we'll kill you. We'll go to war against you. But those who had declared that their way was right were not able to remove the evils of the world. They have shown by their incapacity that they have no capacity to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry. They can't overcome famine. They can't overcome poverty. They can't overcome death. All they have is a word called religion. And they could get away with it until there was Christ walking the earth showing that these evils can be exterminated. Who said there is sin over here? Watch. Who said there is error over there? Watch. Who said there is hunger over here? Watch. Who said there's blindness? Who said there's death? This girl isn't dead. Rise up, little child. Now, when there is a power shown on earth that can counteract all of the knowledge of man, all of the belief in death, all of the belief in sickness, and reveals that this sickness isn't there and this death isn't there, when there is Christ there realized, this is giving us the understanding that there is a transcendental spiritual power on the earth, everywhere. It produced loaves and fishes on one side of the lake for the Hebrews and on the other side of the lake for the Gentiles. It never said to a man before it healed him, what's your religion? What's your code? What's your morals? What did your father do? It never even diagnosed him. And in most cases, all healing was done without prayer to God, showing the futility and stupidity of a person here praying to a God there. It showed the power of spirit within a man heals itself by maintaining itself, because I have chosen you. And therefore, once the truth is revealed, there is no cloak for the authority to hide his sin. The authorities can continue to turn away from the truth, and that is their sin. Once the truth is exposed, that God is present everywhere, then those who turn away from that knowledge are in sin. The sin is rejecting the presence of God everywhere. And so we who have not accepted the presence of God everywhere are still in that conditioned mind that follows the old authorities of good and evil. Having heard that God is everywhere, having known that there was a demonstration on the earth that God is everywhere, that enlightened ones have followed who in many cases have also demonstrated the power of the invisible Christ. We who do not follow have no cloak for our sin. We are still in that inertia of the world mind. Before, when we were ignorant of such demonstrations, we had a cloak for our sin. We could say we didn't know. But we do know. We do know that religion, that science, that all human authorities are rejecting Christ within each individual. And if we continue in that rejection, we are in the same sin. Christ within is the reality, and the outer manifestation of the world mind is the illusion. This is the message. The cloak has been removed. We can look at the truth and say, there it is. Now follow and do likewise, and heaven will open up like a scroll. There are no human authorities. They were wiped out when Christ walked the earth in the form of Jesus Christ, and previously in other forms, and demonstrated that the power of God is present. And therefore, where that power is present, evil does not exist. Because that power is not a dead power, but a living power. All evil is a lie, a non-existence appearing in the human mind. Every headline tomorrow that shouts of evil must be met with that consciousness that the world mind no longer has power to fool you. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. We cannot hide behind the cloak that we love God or we love truth and still accept evil, because truth has no opposite. God has no opposite. Perfection has no opposite. You're looking at the illusion of a mortal mind. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, then had they not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. To continue then to believe in evil as an existent thing is to reject Christ in you and to reject the infinite Spirit of God. You cannot accept the presence of evil without rejecting Christ in you. For the acceptance of Christ in you is the sure knowledge that there is no evil present. You cannot have evil and Christ. You're making your selection. And having been enlightened, your sin has no cloak to hide it. The world mind is still dominating that individual who cannot see that Christ is here and therefore the opposite of Christ is not here. When you stand on Christ, you stand on the knowledge that all evil I see is not here. Confident that this Christ which has permitted you to find Christ, having chosen you, is sustaining you in the truth that you are willing to declare. Until such time as the Comforter comes unto you. But this cometh to pass, the state of consciousness which we're turning from, that the world might be fulfilled that is written in their law, They hated me without a cause. If you go back into the Psalms, you'll find in two of the Psalms the same statement, they hated me without a cause. Now, this was in the Psalms before Christ Jesus walked the earth. And he's revealing that there is no cause to hate Christ. What does that mean? It means that the hating of Christ is as imaginary as all form. It is all within a world mind which itself is an illusion. There's no one hates Christ. The hating of Christ, the Antichrist, is illusion. Antichrist means illusion. Antichrist means world imagination. There isn't any Antichrist. There's nothing to be present beside Christ. They hateth me without cause. This was said back in the Psalms. 35th Psalm and the 69th Psalm. But look at the years between it being said again. They hateth me without cause. And this is to fulfill the prophecy in the Psalms that they hated me without cause. Now, why do you think from time to time we always see that statement? This is to fulfill the prophecy in Scripture, and that it refers to whatever prophecy is fulfilling. It's to show you gradually, to let it sink in, that every prophecy in Scripture is fulfilled. Don't ever think it isn't. And go back to your Matthew 24, the prophecy in that chapter. There's always this continuous hinting, this is that the prophecy should be fulfilled. Because you're going to be hit with one grand wallop one day when it tells you the end of the world is a prophecy, and it must be fulfilled in you. Always, this is the reason we're being so carefully prepared to step out of time, to step out of form, to step out of that which is not Christ. Don't think these words are here with a lesser purpose. There is no lesser purpose. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall certify of me. So there is that grand, glorious, supreme realization. When all of your effort to know and accept, to believe, and to act as the living Spirit of Christ here and there and everywhere that form appears becomes a ringing realization of oneness. I am that I am everywhere. The Comforter in you is the Holy Ghost realization that everywhere is my Spirit. There are no Arabs, there are no Hebrews, there are no Armenians, there are no Americans, there are no Englishmen. There is I, the invisible Christ, everywhere. And that is your new kingdom. That is your indestructible self. And that remains as the world passes in time, as you stand in the now of Christ. And will you do it? Yes, because I have chosen you that your fruit should remain. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now that goes back to a long time before your birth certificate. Ye have been with me from the beginning. This which says before Abraham was I am says, ye have been with me from the beginning. Before Abraham was I am, before Abraham was you are. Why? because this I am which speaks to you is you. The self of you is the Bible leading you to itself. Every word of the Christ is your own self enlightening you, breaking through the clouds of human consciousness to release all that is not you, to stand in the now of time independent of the world. Unused by the world mind, no longer a servant to false authority, liberated out of humanhood. By the vine, which is everywhere present now. And this is only the 15th chapter. We have the 16th, the 17th, before that body which is indestructible is subjected to the belief that the world can destroy. That body is a symbol of many things. One of them is a symbol of your indestructible body. All of this must be given to disciples of Christ, friends of Christ. Before that particular demonstration can take place, so that we are in that state of consciousness which understands. We are learning not about a man, we are learning the nature of ourself, of which that man is a symbol. And I think now we can do Joel's chapter next week. It will not come nigh thee. When we have put on the garment of immortality, death will have lost its victory. Fortunately, there have been so many before us who have known the truth now that the words are no longer hollow. We can look at those who have walked this path and we can say, I can follow with them. They have blazed the trail, but I must blaze that same trail within myself. I think we've had a message for today, and next week we're going to have that dinner at the Mark, you know. So all those who have already told me they're coming, that's fine, and those of you who still are mulling it over, take all the time you want. Tell me today or next week or even Sunday at 4 o'clock next week, it's fine. And then we're going to have quite a number of people there, it appears. And I think we're all going to have a pleasant time. That'll be 5:30 next Sunday at the Mark. Usual class here at 2 o'clock. Thanks again.
Thank you.